This is the Fearless Agent Podcast, where you learn how to make way more money fast selling real estate with your host, the Fearless Agent himself, Bob Loeffler.
And good day to you. This is Bob right here at the Fearless Agent Podcast for real estate sales professionals like you, where we explain why everything you've been taught by the entire real estate industry is wrong, and you will make lots more money in way less time by doing the exact opposite. Representing the opposite of everything that makes sense on planet Earth, we have the lovely sidekick, producer, ZZ Top impersonator, Ramon B.
You know, I'd like to apologize.
Now we have plenty of time for that.
Just before we started the recording, mm-hmm. I said, "Are you ready to go?" And you said, "Yes." And I said, "All righty, Roo." I want to apologize for actually saying that.
You I think you're becoming your parents. Is that something your father would say?
No, but I must have heard it in some old movie. So
my father used to say, "Go lay in the road. I'll warm up the car."
All righty, Roo, then.
All right. Now, we have a guest today.
Yay.
The lovely Chad Young. You know, he's from California.
Yes. I'm from Hawaii, actually.
Were you born in Hawaii?
Born and raised.
Now, we've made fun of people from Hawaii on this show before.
Yes. Your joke about the public education system.
Right. Right. He remembered. Now, have you been on the show before?
I have not.
Oh, wow. This is it. This is his first time. He's a virgin, as I
yes.
like to call him. And he's Asian, so that could be true, actually.
Yes, mm-hmm. but no.
Now, Chad, you live in San Luis Obispo, California. How do you pronounce that?
San Luis Obispo.
Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
Who was this Luis Obispo guy, anyway?
St. Louis Bishop. He was a Spanish missionary, I think.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. Sounds right to me.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are calling in we forgot to do the headlines of the day. We got to do the headlines of the day.
Darn, we almost forgot them.
Yeah, he distracted me with that real estate crap he was going to do, and we forgot to do the important stuff, the headline. This is printed on actual paper so that you know we're real. Now, the White House says that people are focusing too much on inflation. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
The good news, it only happens when people have to pay for something. Put that over here.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff, as always.
Joe Biden running the country. Holy. Now, speaking of old farts. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
How dare you? You looking at me when you're saying that?
Okay. But so I go to the National Speakers Association. You know, I'm a member.
Mm-hmm.
In good standing. And we have our chapter meeting. And then the one guy is so old.
How old is he?
He's so old that he gets out of his car while it's still in drive.
That's unfortunately true, though.
I'm in the parking lot. Yeah. I see that happen, and then when I get up there, I start giving him crap about it. You know, hey, I saw you're so old that you get out of your car. How old are you? You know, that kind of crap. And then I come here last week. I come out of the – here we are high atop the fifth floor of the lovely – whatever building, and go down to my car, and my car is still running.
You left it running?
In the underground parking. How about that?
How old am I? Wow.
Yeah. It was all warmed up, nice and toasty warm. You know, perfect.
Don't make fun of old people.
It was locked up. You couldn't take it away, but good Lord, what's the matter with me? So, Chad, what's the matter with you? That's why we're here.
Yes, sir. Well, I had a quick question before I get into the main questions. But
well, we have a half an hour to kill, so we're going to take that quick question and we're going to stretch it. We're doing if this was TV, you'd see us doing that stretching. Looks like we're doing saltwater taffy, right?
Yes. Okay. What is your opinion, Bob?
Oh, I have one.
A class that office assistant wanted me to take called the Life of a Transaction.
Oh. I thought I was going to be offended. All of a sudden, I think, okay, well, it's a transaction. Well, did you take it?
No, it's at 11 today, so right after this. But
I think I would do that. First of all, I'm a fan of being a team player when you're at a real estate company. It's hard to run a real estate company. The success rate of real estate companies is pretty low, actually. And you're with a great company. And, yeah, I think it's a good idea to be a team player. Now, sadly, the training in real estate companies causes the outrageous failure rate that we have in the real estate industry. So if they're telling you how to get business, you can plan on that being horrible advice, like screwing around on social media. But the life of a transaction sounds like something that you probably should know. And you're new kind of in real estate, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was the quick one.
We're going to pretend you're brand new because you kind of are.
Yeah. The stretching out one. I have
what do you think that class is going to be about?
Probably from offer acceptance to close.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Escrow. Yeah.
It's going to be all the stuff they want to make sure you get in the file so they don't have a problem.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about that yesterday. You know, it's like real estate companies very often would say, oh, we want you to have a copy of the CMA in the file, which really would have no value if the seller hadn't signed it, you know, or initialed it to say they've seen it. So as a fearless agent, we don't do a CMA that we just tell the seller our opinion. And then that way we're not arguing about which comps we picked or some crap like that with the seller. But at the end of the fearless agent pricing presentation, I should say, when I'm after they've signed the listing, I'm pulling out the CMA for the first time, having them initial it to say they saw it. And then on the back it shows my estimate of fair market value, my recommended list price, the actual list price. And the proceeds, my estimate of their proceeds. And so they've initialed all that. Now that has great value in the file, but the company saying, oh yeah, we just want a copy of the CMA in the file. That would be ridiculous. Unsigned. So there's that. Go ahead.
So I have a listing appointment this evening at 7 PM, which is great. I know you don't like talking price. Of course, with
on the show we do because we got to kill a half an hour.
Yeah, but this was the property that was flood damaged by natural causes.
Since we've talked about that, just for the kids that are tuning in, it's a 1953 900 square foot one bath. No covered parking, flooded house because of you called it a river, but it was really a wash behind the house that had gone up. The level of it went up and went into the house. Is that how you understand that?
Yes.
And then I think the insurance people paid them $30,000. And then they didn't do anything with the $30,000. Perhaps they snorted it up their nose or bought cocaine and hooker, something worthwhile with the money. But they didn't use it to fix the house. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is smart because it's on an acre and the price is in the roughly $700,000, $600,000 price range, so you'd be smearing whipped cream on poop, and you could build that whole house brand new for $100,000, less than $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
So to tear it down and build something that makes sense these days would be smart.
Yes. And the question would be, when we say, or when we get to the pricing presentation, I don't know. At some point, I feel like explaining to them about it being flooded, it being something that no one wants, it being something that will probably need to be teared down. Does it make sense to...
I wouldn't go into that.
You wouldn't?
Well, unless there was a reason to. Let's say you do the Fearless Agent listing presentation. They trust you 100% after the four questions. They're sold on you, which should be the case. Mm-hmm. So you ring the bell, you smile, you pay them a compliment, you take them directly to the kitchen table. And you're wading through mud to get there, of course, because it was flooded. Are you going to meet with them in the flooded house that smells like mold?
In the travel trailer parked next door to it.
That only makes good sense to have a travel trailer parked next door. And the travel trailer has more square footage than the house, probably.
Possibly.
So you're going to be sitting in that little in the kiddie-sized kitchen in that travel trailer, right?
Yes.
Which is fine. And then so you're going to, you know, break the ice and then do the expired list intro. And then the preview of coming attractions, and then you're going to ask the questions. So in the questions, what are the additional questions that you think should be asked? Well, where are you moving to? You'll probably already know that.
Yes. I would ask how long you've been living in the trailer.
Since it flooded would be the answer to that.
Right. And I think that's a... something to bring up just because it's kind of miserable living in that trailer. But the other thing would be,
where are they moving to?
Addressing, a different city in the area.
Okay. So, but are they going to buy or are they going to rent?
Buy.
Okay. How old is the seller? Do you know?
Retired age. Your age.
Oh God, they're practically dead.
That old?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then their car is probably running downstairs. So then, so they're gonna, if they're only my age, as I like to say, then they're not gonna rent. They're probably gonna buy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they're gonna buy something that makes more sense and is more modern and is not backing up to the creek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if I could just talk sense with a seller who trusted me 100%, I would say, obviously, getting rid of this as quickly as possible. They should be running from it as if it were on fire. It's also on a slightly busy street. There's a yellow line down the middle. So in a bad market, here's the things that it has going against it. And again, we've talked about it beforehand, but it has – so write this down. If you're tuning in, it is two bedrooms. That is functionally obsolete these days. So when somebody searches the MLS to buy a house, it's invisible to every single person who would live in it, who's looking for a house to live in. You know, the realtor sits down and says, well, what's the minimum number of bedrooms you need? Now, even somebody who would buy a two-bedroom house, it doesn't even occur to them to say it these days. So especially when you're in the $700,000 price range, you don't think of that. Single-family home, that is. If it's a condo, that'd be different. But so that makes it invisible. So that could cost them $100,000, not devaluing the house, but devaluing it's invisible. So to the buyers who want to pay the most. So that's a problem. It's only got one bathroom. Again, functionally obsolete. That makes it invisible. So when you have things like that that make the house invisible, that they take a hit on the price.
When did you bring that up?
Well, I just want to get it out. Then there's no covered parking. So imagine the agent sits down and says, would you be okay with a house that doesn't have a garage and it only has a carport? And they go, yeah, that'd be okay. You know, could you imagine buying a house that only had a one-car carport or a one-car garage, or do you need two? No matter what their answer is, yours is invisible. So again, it's a disaster from that standpoint, financially. Then what was the other thing? So the flooding is really the least of the problems. And I think you told me that they gave the insurance company gave him $30,000, which is about $30 a square foot for the flood damage, which would more mm-hmm. than cover that. That was generous, I think. So, I mean, there's probably some mold remediation, and then they got to have new flooring, and the bottom of the drywall probably got soaked up, and, you know, there's black mold and all that. So $30,000 is going to cover that. So we know – so there's a little rule of thumb. If you have a flood to where you have to wade through your house, you know, $30 a square foot probably fixes it. So that's good information for the future. So it's got a – and then there's the busy street. So this is a house. The moral of that story is all those bad factors added together, certainly any one of them would be – a kind of disastrous, but all of them added together means this house as an investment, and it is only an investment because they're living in a fifth wheel. So they're not living in it. So it's only an investment. It in a market like this where the prices are going down in your area and virtually every area in America right now, it's going to go down the fastest. The only thing that would be worse would be a condo or you know, anything with an association or a condo or something without land, like multifamily or that stuff would be the absolute worst. But this is going down much more rapidly than in the same neighborhood, not facing a busy street, not backing up to the wash where there's a flood risk, not with three bedrooms, two bathrooms, even not much more square footage. You know, to get three bedrooms and two bathrooms, it would only have to have 1,100 square feet. And it's on a pretty large lot. So it's, 10,000 usable probably, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So because it slopes down and then you fall on the creek.
Right.
So getting their money invested in something that's three bedrooms, two bathrooms, not on a busy street, and no weird flooding risks is going to be a much better investment, because real estate is about getting rich, because you can rent a place to live. So you want to get and this by the way, this property has made them rich because it was $8,000 when it was built. Did you know that?
Yes.
So it's gone from roughly $10,000 to $20,000, then to $40,000, then to $80,000, then to $160,000, then to $320,000, and now you're at $640,000-ish. So it's doubled all those times. So even the worst thing made them rich. So imagine if they had bought something with three bedrooms and two bathrooms, it would have been much. You'd be at over $1 million, obviously, in the same area, right?
Yes. When would you bring, two bedrooms, one bath, no garage, busy street, flood risk? When would you bring all that up?
Well, you asked them the million-dollar question over the phone. What was that? So, and for those of you tuning in, the Fearless Agent million-dollar question is, if you were going to win $1 million by guessing correctly, what price realistically do you think a buyer would pay for your house? And what was their answer?
$850,000.
So they weren't crazy off. I think you and I talked, and we thought it was $650,000.
Yes.
So that's like it's a little off, but I mean they have to move,
right?
So
right.
Once they trust you, then you talk price. And again, we could be wrong. There's so many weird factors with that house that we could easily be wrong.
Right. Okay. So you would bring that up once you start talking price.
Yes. Well, I'd say, in every house, there's bad news and good news. And there's some bad news about this house, not about the house itself, but just the way the MLS works. You know, when people are searching for homes, what percent of buyers that are going to pay between $600,000 and $1 million in America today are looking for a two-bedroom single-family house? And the answer is zero. None. That's not happening. one bathroom. Mm-hmm. How many buyers, qualified buyers that can afford to pay $600,000 to $1 million, are looking for, told their realtor, yeah, we'd be okay with only one bathroom. None. Zero. It's invisible. So that doesn't mean they wouldn't be willing to live in a house like that. It means they're not looking for it, you know. So it would be a fine rental property. An investor would, but investors prey on properties like that to get a good deal, meaning pay below fair market value. So that's a challenge that's fixable. I mean, we know how to fix that. We know how to make the buyer grossly overpay for it. That's not a problem. But to pretend that any agent could overcome that and make the buyer over, but there's no chance. A non-fearless agent would have zero chance of selling that for more than fair market value. It just couldn't happen. I know you can. You know you can, but there's no other agent in your town that could.
Right.
So tell them that.
Okay. And that would be once I start talking.
Yeah, and when you start talking price, exactly.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, you know, I talked with my broker briefly about the property, but it sounds like the person that's going to buy it is probably going to be someone who is going to develop it or has experience developing.
When you say develop, it sounds like you're building a strip mall. So
okay.
somebody who buys a house on a lot, tears it down, and builds a bigger single-family residence is not a developer. That's somebody who's addicted to HGTV.
Yes.
And losing daddy's money. That's not a developer. Okay.
Okay.
A developer is somebody who builds a housing development. A developer builds a neighborhood. They don't build one house. Okay. So developer is when you're half in the bag at the bar sitting next to the hot chick and you're doing a fix and flip, you call yourself a developer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So if your broker said that worries me a little bit.
Okay. But I guess the main point is someone who has experience tearing down houses and building them would be probably the guy that is actually going to buy this. Not many people that are
usually the guy that does that probably doesn't have experience. He's doing it for the first time because he watched too much Home and Garden Network TV and he's going to lose his ass in the process. But now is the market when developers go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in a building built by a developer. Do you know who built this building?
I do not.
The developer who built this building went on to become governor of Arizona.
Oh, wow.
And he lost his butt. Okay.
Developing this building.
This corner, yeah. These buildings and the Ritz-Carlton, where I spent my honeymoon night, right next door, by the way.
I did see the plaque out front about that. Yeah.
Fife Symington was the guy who developed this and some other. And the guy's a great developer, great guy, great governor, as a matter of fact. But in a market like this, he misjudged market timing and he lost. But he's a real developer, okay? He's not some daddy's money nitwit who watches too much HGTV and does fix and flips and calls himself a developer. But people lose their butts in a market like this doing stuff like that. So.
Mm. Okay. Well,
and I don't think I wouldn't assume. I think it's very dangerous to predict who the buyer will be. The buyer who's willing to pay the most. I don't think if I asked your broker, do you think that's the buyer who wants a good deal, the so-called air quotes developer? Do you think that's somebody who wants a good deal or is willing to grossly overpay to get the perfect thing? I think your broker
wants
would say
a good deal.
Right. Well, again. That tells me your broker represents the air quotes developer, the buyer. See, they don't represent the seller. And that's the problem with the real estate industry right there. We only care about the buyer. Nobody cares about the seller. But again, you have a listing agreement that says you represent the seller only. So what we're trying to do is find somebody who sees the potential in that property and is willing to overpay. Probably because what they really want, they can't afford. But they can afford to overpay for that. So that's who. Maybe that's who. And I don't want to predict who the best buyer would be. But it's not that air quotes developer idiot that your broker was talking about. Probably. Mm-hmm. Although it could be. I'm open to that too. I don't care who we screw as long as we make them overpay so that your people get the most money for their house.
Yes. As far as I've been struggling with the four questions, having them sold on me by the end of that, in general, in my past listing appointments, I was looking for advice, tips on really nailing that part of the listing presentation because that's what
Here's the advice I would give. If you only cared about the seller and their outcome, you wouldn't be following a script. Okay? I think if you have a problem, I think you would agree that you're too scripted. Do you think that's true?
That is true.
Okay. So if you just cared about the seller, and when you're too scripted, what always happens is you're not really curious about, you know, like, where'd the money go? They refinanced cash out of the house. What'd you do with the money? You know, oh, we bought hookers and cocaine. Oh, okay. Well, that was a bad life choice. Okay. So let's not make another one. Let's not screw up again. You know, attack the elephant in the room. So if you're just scripted, you're going to go through, you know, are you going to rent? Are you going to buy? Is it going to be a condo? Or is it going to be a house? Is it going to be bigger or smaller? Is it going to be, you know, you get too locked into that. You got to care about the people and not care about your presentation. I know how to do my presentation. That's not a problem. Now, because I know how to do the presentation, I can just focus on the people. Most agents go in there and they don't have a presentation that leads people to make a wise choice, and the presentation does a couple of things. It sells them on you, but it really the questions you go through are to, I want them to say, gee, this Chad guy cares more about us than any of the other five agents we talk to ever would. We know that. And I have many, many coaching students of mine tell me they hear that all the time. I heard it all the time when I was an agent. But I wasn't scripted. I didn't even have my listing presentation memorized. Or the four questions. Okay. So, and every situation's different. And it's not four questions. We call it the four questions. The reason we call it the four questions is, where are you moving to? When do you want to be there? What's important to you in choosing an agent, and what would it take to get you to list your house with me tonight? Now, I've done it that way, but you know, that's the basics, I guess. But the way we do it, it's many more questions than that. Just where is more questions than four.
Right.
So right. If you really care about the seller, you're gonna ask them questions that help them see, you know, it's complicated. You're selling this house. You're getting a bunch of money. And then do they owe money on the house?
Yeah, $100,000.
Yeah, well, where'd that money go? How'd that happen? Didn't they inherit that house from a
family? Yeah, they inherited it.
Well, there shouldn't have been debt on it then. So they took money out. They cashed out refi. And what'd they do with that money? Where'd that go?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question to ask. Say, look, this house should have been paid off three times by now because they bought it new, didn't they, or something like that, or way long ago?
Way long ago.
Yeah. So it should have been paid off three times. So why would you owe money against the house? Where did that money go? That's a smart question to ask.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when they say that answer to that, and maybe it's a little embarrassing sometimes, you know, now it could be like we had a health problem and, you know, that's real. But if they did something stupid, like buy a car, or they bought that fifth wheel or something, you know, that could have been it, which I don't think anybody would argue is a good investment, then that probably is not great. Just as a choice. So now you're making a real estate choice. That was not a good one, obviously. And now you want to – I don't want to borrow against my house to buy a car. I'm not living within my means if I do that.
Right.
That's right. For sure. Now, let's do a shameless plug, shall we?
Time Thank you. For Bob Leffler's Shameless Plug!
By the way, if any of the stuff we talk about here on the big show makes any sense to you whatsoever, and you happen to be earning less selling real estate than you wish you were, and you are open to the idea of having some help, go to fearlessagent.com in the banner across the top on the right side. You can click on the free webinar, watch that, and then you can call me anytime at 480-385-8810. That's my cell phone. Am I good about answering the phone?
Yeah. Chad?
So one-word answers. I like that. He didn't want to elaborate too much. So, but if you but call me anytime. Don't ever think you're bothering me. Don't email me and don't text me because those are bad habits in sales, and we practice what we preach here. Pick up the phone and call me, and we'll see if Fearless Agent would be a good fit for you. And if it is, you'll get rich, and if it's not, we'll help you in other ways. Now, Chad, what I want you to do on this appointment is focus on the seller only. Forget you, okay? Don't care about you. And it's okay to say that to them. Say, look, I don't care about me. I'm here to help you. This isn't about me getting a listing just for the sake of getting a listing. Anybody could do that. I'm here to help you, okay? So you tell me what you want to do, and I'll show you, if it's possible to do that, the number one best way to do that so you end up with the most money. That's why we're here, right? So it's just that. That's not memorized. It's just the truth. So make sure you're good at that. And by the way, I would list my house with you. I'm comfortable with you. You know, I know you know what you're doing. There's a listing presentation, a pricing presentation, a FSBO presentation, a buyer presentation, and an investor presentation. How many of those have you never done?
I think just the FSBO.
Okay.
Maybe so FSBO and expired.
Okay. Well, no, there is no expired presentation.
Or so the with the insert.
So it's listing, pricing, FSBO, buyer, and investor. So you know how to do the FSBO. You know how to do them all. So you're a highly trained, fearless agent. You know, there's no agent in your town that is more highly trained than you on getting the seller top dollar for their house. That's the whole purpose of those presentations. So you're qualified. So now it's just about caring about them and making sure they get that the only thing you care about is them, and you don't care about your presentation. It's just a thing you do. That's the secret.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chad. Sure. Now, if you happen to be, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Please do visit us at fearlessagent.com. If you happen to be a owner of a real estate company and you're recruiting fewer producing agents than you wish you were, also go to fearlessagentrecruiting.com. Watch the video there. That will help you recruit for sure. And then give me a call for a complimentary recruiting coaching call. But any of you can call me directly anytime at 480-385-8810. All of you, please give us a 5-star review of this podcast. Refer business to Chad also. Chad's phone number is 805-888-1495 in San Luis Obispo. And you can always go to fearlessagent.tv and subscribe. What else do we plug here? Is that it? Is that the extent of our plug-in?
I think that's about it. Five stars everywhere, wherever you find
in
this.
In that case, until next week, do what we always do. Have fun, stay humble, and most of all, be fearless. Thanks, gang.